Let's turn in God's Word now to the first letter of Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and we're reading verses 1 to 11. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. As you sit here in church today, are you burdened? Are you anxious? Are you fearful? Fearful maybe about the future? Are there all kinds of cares that are weighing heavily on you today? Maybe you think, well, as a Christian, I shouldn't feel like that. I should be doing better. Maybe if I had enough faith, there wouldn't be these problems. And yet we know from the Word of God that being a Christian isn't a ticket to an easy passage through life. We have all the struggles and the burdens that every person has. They all have to face them. And as a Christian, there's an extra dimension. Because, as we were saying to the young folk, we are in a spiritual battle. And you may well be struggling in that battle today, temptations and pressures. Maybe you're facing hardship as a Christian. Maybe persecution within your workplace, your family. It's difficult to be a Christian. The Christians to whom Peter wrote his first letter knew what hardship was. They were people who were in testing times. In chapter 3, verse 17, he talks about suffering for doing good. He talks about having suffered for a little while in chapter 5, verse 10 that we read earlier. Here were people who had good reason to be burdened with cares and anxieties, especially because of their Christian faith. And when Peter addresses them, he's addressing people like us. And we can identify with them and what Peter says to them. But to face the cares and the anxieties of life, those that everybody faces, and those that come especially because you're a Christian, we have resources that unbelievers simply can't have and don't have. Well, we have the community of God's people and their support and encouragement there, but far more than that, far greater, are the resources that we have in God himself. And our focus needs to be on God. And that's what we want to do as we turn to 1 Peter 5. And we're looking particularly at verses 6 and 7 today. God's answer to our cares. God's answer to our cares. Peter says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." We need to focus on God. And two things in particular that we see in these verses that are vital for us. The first, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. As always, we've got to begin in the right place when we're thinking of the Christian life and what the Lord gives us to strengthen us for that life. And the first thing that we see here in verse 6 is God's mighty hand. And that is a crucial expression when we think of our trials and our difficult circumstances. Our temptation is to focus on the problems and our worries. And we can understand that. But we've got to start in the right place. And here's the right place. God's mighty hand. Because all that the sources of our cares and our burdens and our anxieties have to be viewed in the light of the providence of a sovereign God. If we lose sight of that, we're going to have even more difficulty. The providence of a sovereign God is crucial. And understanding that, God's mighty hand reminds us that our circumstances, including the hard times and the things that make us fearful, that give us anxiety and worries, all our circumstances are not the product of blind chance, but God is in sovereign control. He's in control of good times and hard times. Daniel 4:35 reminds us he does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. And if God is in control of the heavenly hosts and of all the peoples on earth, he's in control of our circumstances. Whatever comes to us, it is from God's mighty hand. And that's why, for example, in the previous chapter 4, verse 19, Peter writes about suffering according to God's will. That's exactly the same principle there. Suffering according to God's will. The hard times come from God's mighty hand. And that's where we need to begin to address these issues with God, a sovereign God, a reminder that it's God's mighty hand that governs all the details of our day-to-day experience, joyful times and hard times alike. God's mighty hand. Indeed, if we remember that now God exercises his sovereignty through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," it is his mighty hand that we must think of. It's through our Saviour that our loving God, our sovereign God, works. It's not some stranger. It's Christ. When we think of God's mighty hand, it's our Saviour's hand that we must think about. That's the first thing, the essential starting point, God's mighty hand. But then secondly, There's the command, humble yourselves, therefore. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Here is the Christian's proper response to God's sovereign disposing of all our circumstances. If it is God's mighty hand that determines everything that comes to us, what then? Well, this is what then. Humble yourselves, therefore. Peter is applying the truth of Proverbs 3 and verse 34. That's the verse he quotes in the previous verse, verse 5. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And our call as Christians is to manifest a humble, submissive spirit to the providence of God. We're to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Especially, of course, when it brings hardship, when it runs counter to what we would have liked. That's when there's the real need to humble ourselves. It's relatively easy when the path is straightforward and we're happy with the road we're travelling. But when it's difficult, when it's worrying, when there are fears, that's when we really need to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. It leaves no room for pride. The pride that knows better than God what we need or what should happen. Do we find that in ourselves sometimes? We think God seems to be making a mistake. I could do it better if I was in control. That's the voice of pride. And often it's that pride that leads us to discontent with what God's providence brings us. Sometimes it stirs bitterness even in a Christian's heart if God leads along a very difficult path, and sometimes he does. Maybe you've experienced it, maybe you've seen it in others. And it can make us bitter or fearful or anxious. And those are the fruit of a spirit that isn't humbled under God's mighty hand, that thinks, I know better. I could make a better job of it. Think of Jesus' exhortation in Matthew 18 and verse 4. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why did he choose a child? Because of its attitude of complete dependence and parents. There must, in the Christian, be that attitude of complete dependence on the love and the wisdom and the power of God. That's humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand. We've talked about Jesus enthroned in glory. But remember his example of humbling himself under the providence of his Father. Philippians 2. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. We can say the Lord is not asking anything from you that he didn't do himself. Jesus humbled himself to the lowest place, death on a cross, submitting to the heavy hand of his Father. And so he's not asking you to do anything different. He did it himself. And in Christ, we can do the same. It's not something that comes naturally to us. And that's why there in Proverbs 3, as Peter quotes it in verse 5, it talks about God giving grace to the humble. And it is the fruit of grace. God enables us to do this because it is counter often to what we want. And yet he gives grace to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And then thirdly, there's the promise of the verse. It doesn't stop there. That he may lift you up in due time. And that is the biblical pattern for God's people. It always is humiliation followed by exaltation. That is the pattern. That's how it was for Jesus, wasn't it? We've spoken of Jesus humbling himself to the lowest place. And then in Philippians 2:9 we read, therefore God has super exalted him. Because he humbled himself, therefore God exalted him. And here it is, worked out in the life of the Christian. The same pattern. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. It is the same for us. There is the humbling, the humiliation, then followed by the lifting up, the exaltation. Listen to Jesus in Luke 14:11. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And there's really that choice. We can exalt ourselves, and one day God will bring us down. Or we can humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, willing submission to his providence, and he will lift us up. Because you see, God's purpose is never simply to humiliate us, as if he got some kind of pleasure in our pain. Of course not. The hard experiences that come to us are to build our faith and to build godly character. That's why Paul writes in Romans 5:3, for example, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. The humbling and the humiliation are for a purpose. To make us more like Jesus. And then, we are told, as was the case with our Saviour, God will lift us up. God will exalt us, as some of the translations have it. And we can see that in part as God bringing an end to our time of trial. Though in this life, other trials will come. But in Bible language, that expression, in due time, suggests, I think, very strongly, the last day. The day of Christ's return. Because at that day, God's people will be vindicated and rewarded. At the moment, we're treated by the world as idiots, as fools who are believing fantasies. But at the last day, it'll be evident to the entire universe that we really were the people of God, saved by God's grace in Christ. We'll be vindicated, and nobody will be able to question it, and we'll be rewarded. God will lift us up at due time, and it may have to wait until that last day, but the day will come. And it's on that point, ultimately, that our Christian hope is fixed. Not simply on easier times in this world. God may give them, but sometimes he doesn't. But in due time, when our Saviour appears in glory, we'll be vindicated. And we'll praise him. And we'll see our troubles as what Paul describes as our light, momentary afflictions. Because they're working a far more exceeding weight of glory that outweighs them all. We humble ourselves under God's mighty hand of providence. He will lift us up in due time. God is sovereign. That's where we need to begin when we think of our cares and our burdens and our fears and our anxieties. God's mighty hand. But that isn't all these verses tell us. God is sovereign, yes. And also, in verse 7, God is caring. God is caring. We need to understand that verse 7 is not a separate command. Now, it is in the NIV, but it shouldn't be. And we miss something if we think of it that way. Because it was particularly verse 7 that I came to in thinking of preaching today. But in looking at verse 7, it became obvious you can't preach verse 7 without verse 6. You're tearing apart what God has put together. Verse 7 should read, casting all your care. And that's the sequence. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, casting all your care. It's not something separate or different. It's a way in which we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, by casting all our anxiety, all our cares on the Lord. We humble ourselves when we accept that we don't have in ourselves the resources to deal with our burdens and the things that cause us anxiety and fear. That's humbling yourself under God's mighty hand when you admit that. And when you admit you need God's help and God's grace and God's resources. It's the Christian who has humbled himself or herself under God's mighty hand who'll be able to fulfill verse 7. Who'll be able to cast their anxiety, their care on the Lord. If you haven't humbled yourself, you won't do this, and you won't be able to do this. And you'll go on in the strength of self, and you won't have God's resources. And you'll miss the blessing. You'll be robbed of this resource. Any traces of pride and self-sufficiency, you won't cast your cares on the Lord. And you won't receive his help and his blessing. That's why the two verses go together. That's why you can't really preach verse 7 without preaching verse 6. Humble yourself, and you'll be able, in so doing, to cast your anxiety on the Lord. And that is a striking phrase it uses, casting all your anxiety on him. It's a word that's used in Luke 19 for the people who threw their garments over the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. That's the picture. Throw your anxiety, throw your cares on the Lord. He's able to bear them. And it suggests a very deliberate, conscious choice on our part. This isn't something that just happens naturally, without any effort on our part. It doesn't happen automatically. We've got to set ourselves consciously to hand our anxieties over to the Lord. It is a choice on our part, and we might not do it, and we'll be the worse for it if we don't. But we've got to choose to cast our anxiety on the Lord. And we know he's able to bear whatever we cast on him. Think of the frankness of some of the Psalms and some of the things Job said, where we almost, maybe our first response is, you shouldn't say that to God. And whatever we cast on him, he can bear it. In a sense, there's nothing you can cast on the Lord by way of your anxiety that he isn't able and willing to carry. Whatever the anxiety is, it's to be cast on him. Maybe your fears about the future for yourself or for loved ones. Anxiety about aging and what that's going to bring. Or pain or illness. Fears about the past and what lies back there that maybe is still with you. Fears about the future. Material worries. Spiritual worries. Maybe you're struggling with particular temptations. And maybe you feel you're clinging to the edge of the cliff by your fingertips and you can't hold on much longer. And whatever the care or the anxiety is, you can cast it on the Lord, because there's nothing that's too small for him. There's nothing that's insignificant to him. If something worries your children, you worry with them. Nothing's too small, even though you know it's maybe a trivial thing. And if we are anxious about anything, God is concerned about it with us. Because he is our Father in heaven. And it's his providence, remember. It's his mighty hand that's brought those circumstances about. So he's not surprised. He's not taken unawares by it. It's within his providence. So we must consciously, deliberately cast our anxiety on him. And the tense of that verb casting tells us it's a single action. In other words, you cast your cares and you leave them there. How often do we cast our cares on the Lord and then we pick them up and we go on with them? As if we'd never gone to the Lord in the first place. It's as if we take our cares to God and we talk to him about them, and then we pick them up and go on, burdened and anxious. That's not what we're told to do. We cast them and we leave them there. Hard though sometimes it might be to do that. But that is what God is encouraging us to do and requiring us to do. To pick up the burden and go on carrying it surely isn't only a foolish thing to do, but it dishonours God. It's saying, in a sense, God can't cope with them or hasn't got the answer, so I've got to go on anxious and burdened and sort it out myself. Casting your care on the Lord and leaving it there. And it does need grace. Most of us are tempted to cast and then take them back and go on worrying. But with God's grace, we can cast them and leave them there. Because that is what the picture of verse 7 is. We deliberately choose to throw our anxieties on the Lord who can bear them, and we leave them there. Casting all your anxiety on him. And then the encouragement and the promise. Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. And what more encouragement could you need than that? Here's one who knows us. Who knows us exhaustively, every weakness, every sin, everything about us. And he cares for you. And there is no possibility that you'll be rebuffed and turned away and he'll say, "Don't want to hear from you. Go away." At times we're tempted sometimes to respond like that. And God never does. He cares for us. He is worthy of our complete trust. After all, Matthew 6 tells us, your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. Even the most mundane, practical things of food and clothing. He already knows. And He cares for us. And after all, hasn't He already demonstrated how much He cares for us? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? It makes no sense to think God will withhold some blessing we need when He's already given us Jesus and all we have in Christ. He's already done that. You know He cares for you infinitely. Anything we now need is trivial in comparison. It's a little thing. How could He not also give us that? Of course not. Whatever we require will be there. No greater demonstration of care is possible than the cross. He cares for you. And so we can be sure. For example, Hebrews 13:5. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We can be absolutely certain, Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if that is so, and it is, because He cares for you, then we can cast all our anxiety, whatever it is, on Him and leave it there and rest at His promises. He cares for you. And when you think of how He cares for you, doesn't it make it easier to humble yourself under God's mighty hand? Because it's not some tyrant who cares nothing for you, who wants you to submit. It's your Father who loves you. It's your Savior who gave Himself for you. He cares for you. And so we will humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. And we'll be able to cast all our anxiety on Him. Whatever it is, whatever burdens your heart today, whatever fills your mind with anxious thoughts, cast it on the Lord. He's able to bear it. And He cares for you. He gave His Son for you. Jesus died for you. He cares for you. Hard times will come. You know that. The Bible tells us that. But in God we have the resources, all the resources we need to meet those times. They come from His mighty hand in His providence. Humble yourself, knowing He'll lift you up in due time. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Praise the Lord. We've all we need.